This book, Principles of Upbringing Children by Ayatollah Ibrahim Amini, is presented to you in the audio form by sheaudios.com. It is an attempt to make it easier for the seeker of knowledge to gain knowledge while on the move. After listening to the audio, if you would like to further consolidate your knowledge with references, please refer to the hard copy of the book. Chapter 1. The Translator's Note. My friend Riaz Ahmed gave me a copy of the Urdu translation of the book to read and attempt its translation into the English language. He told me that the sponsors are keen to have the book published in the English language for the benefit of young, eligible, girls, newly married couples and expectant mothers who do not have proficiency in Persian, the language of the original text, nor can they read Urdu in which it has been translated and published. After reading the book, I am convinced that it is a highly commendable project. I feel a copy should reach every household. It should be a part of the dower of newlywed brides, it should be presented to the young married couples, and it must be there on every family bookshelf. The book should adorn the bedside table of every young couple and will be a very useful reference and guide for proper upbringing of children. Ayatollah Ostad Ibrahim Amini has rightly pointed out in his foreword that the Western libraries are chock-full of works on child-rearing and upbringing, but we find hardly any comprehensive reference on the subject with particular emphasis on the Islamic norms and guidelines for upbringing of children. The Western works are more materialistic, which emphasize only on the material and moral aspects of child-rearing. It is Islam that covers all the aspects, including the religious and spiritual guidelines, for bringing up the children as good Muslims and citizens. He has extensively quoted from the Holy Book and the traditions of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and his infallible descendants. The need for English translations of Islamic works is universally felt, and a lot of work is being done in this direction. There is a very large section of Muslim youth, although fluent at speaking in their native languages, are more comfortable communicating in English, which has assumed the status of lingua franca for them. We also come across people from other faiths who are curious to know more about Islam, and they wish to have access to good literature on the subject in the English language. If the publication of the translation of this book sees the light of the day, it will be another small, but significant step towards dissemination of Islamic precepts to a wide spectrum of people in the East and the West. Insha Allah. Syed Tahir Bilgrami, Hyderabad, India. Chapter 2. Foreword. There is pronounced difference between education and training or upbringing. Education means inculcation of knowledge, or imparting the meanings of the contents of curricula. But upbringing is molding of personalities on desired lines. The society can be transformed with proper upbringing of its population. It is imperative that upbringing is based on well-thought-out program to ensure the degree of desired success. Upbringing is not only sermonizing and admonishing, but it requires creation of the right environment towards attainment of the desired results. The criteria necessary for proper upbringing can be listed as: 1. The mentor should be properly acquainted with the student whose upbringing he is assigned to take up. He should familiarize himself with the physical and mental status of the student. 2. The mentor should have defined aims of the training program for the student. The ultimate goal of the upbringing process has to be the development of the student into a humane person. 3. The training program to be inclusive of the desirable criteria and conditions for producing best results. The mentor then can expect positive results over a period of time. The best period for commencement of the upbringing or training is the childhood of the student. Childhood is the most impressionable period in the life of a person. At this delicate and responsible juncture, the parents can play a very crucial role. But upbringing of small children is not an easy and simple function, and requires deep thought of identification, knowledge, experience, determination and perseverance in the mentor or the parents. It is sad that most parents are found ignorant of the art of upbringing of the children. This is the reason most children are not receiving upbringing on desirable lines, and they keep growing like self-sustained saplings. In the progressive countries of the West and the East, upbringing of children receives prime importance. They have conducted a lot of research in this field. Many useful books have been published on the subject, and they have many experts in the field. But in our country, scant attention has been given to this crucial matter. We have few knowledgeable persons in this discipline and very few books on the subject, which are absolutely insufficient. Quite a few books have been translated from other languages into Persian, which are available to people. But these books from the West and the East have two big lacunae. The first lacuna is that they treat of only the physical requirement of the students, and the stress is on the worldly education of the subjects. All the research rotates around these aspects only, and they are totally silent on the spiritual aspect of human life and have ignored any reference to mention of the concept of hereafter. In the West, the only objective is to train the children for their bodies and minds for the attainment of worldly conveniences and pleasures, so that when they grow up they have ideal living conditions at their disposal. And if these books deal with the subject of morality, they limit themselves to the treatment of morality specific only to the worldly benefits, and are totally silent about the rewards or retribution which one can earn on the basis of his actions during the worldly life. The second lacuna is that the training problems in the West are dependence for a solution only on past experiences and statistics. There is no impressive faith in this process. Therefore, these books are not of comprehensive utility for the people of the Muslim faith. In the eyes of a Muslim, the human being has two pronounced aspects: one is the body and the other is the spirit. One pertains to the worldly life, and the other to the hereafter. In view of this, the writer has decided to study and research, and thereafter present the conclusions to the seekers of knowledge in the form of a book. For the writing of this book, the main source of information has been the Holy Quran, the books of tradition, and the writings on moral science. Reference has also been made to works in Arabic and Persian on the training of children, their psychology, health, etc. The books written by Iranian scholars on the upbringing of children were also kept in view. The personal experiences of the author have also been invaluable in this effort. It is hoped that this humble presentation will be of use to the mentors who are associated with the training of impressionable minds in the Muslim community. Ibrahim Amini Najaf Abadi. January 1980. Chapter 3. The Parent's Responsibility. In the eyes of Islam, the status of the father and the mother is very exalted. Allah, the Holy Prophet, and the infallible Imams have exhorted the people in this regard. There are a lot of verses in the Holy Book relevant to the subject. The exemplary behavior of children towards their parents is rated as one of the best invocations. Allah says, "Your God has decreed that thou shalt worship only Him and adopt good behavior with thy parents." Quran 17:23. Imam Ja'far As-Sadiq, peace be upon him, observes, three actions are the best. A. Offer the five mandatory prayers with punctuality. B. Maintain good behavior with your parents. C. Struggle in the cause of Allah. Now the question arises why this exalted position has been bestowed on the parents of the faithful. Is Allah giving this status for no specific reason? What big deed the parents perform for their progeny that they are deemed deserving of the august status? The father, in satisfaction of his carnal desire, transfers his sperm into the womb of the mother, where it compounds with the ovum and a new being starts to develop, and after 9 months of the incident arrives into the world as a tiny baby. The mother suckles it and gives it other nutrition. Sometimes she cleans it and sometimes changes its raiment. She cares of its wetness and dryness. During this time, the father takes care of the expenses required for the upkeep of the child. Don't the parents have any other responsibility besides these? Is it because of performing these duties that the parents have been endowed with the exalted status? Do the parents only have a right over their offspring and the children don't have any rights over them? In my opinion, no one will accept any such one-sided privilege. The traditions of the infallibles of the Holy Prophet's family are quoted in this regard. The Holy Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said, "As your father has a right over you, so does your progeny have a similar right." Majma al-Zawaid, Volume 8, page 146. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, also said, "As are the children disinherited for their disobedience, so also it is possible that the parents may be disowned by the children for not fulfilling their bond and duties." Bayha al-Anwar, Volume 19, page 93. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, "Allah's curse on such parents who become the cause of disinheriting their children." Makarim al-Akhlaq, page 518. Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him, said, "Your children have a right that you consider if they are good or they are bad. You have been the cause of their birth and the world recognizes them as your offspring. It is your responsibility that you teach them good manners and guide them toward the recognition and obedience of Allah. Your behavior towards your children must be of a person who believes that a good deed shall get a suitable reward and ill treatment shall call for retribution." Makarim al-Akhlaq, page 484. The Commander of the Faithful, Ali peace be upon him, says, "Beware, your behavior might render your family and your relatives part of the ill-fated people." Garar al-Hakam, page 802. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, "Whoever wishes that his children are safe from disinheritance, he should help them performing good deeds." Majma al-Zawaid, Volume 8, page 158. The Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, also said, "To whomsoever a daughter is born should strive to impart norms of good behavior to her and make efforts to educate her. Provide means of comfort to her that she becomes a cause of his deliverance from the hellfire." Majma al-Zawaid, Volume 8, page 158. Above all, Allah says in the Holy Quran, "O believers, save yourselves and your dependents." The time when a child is in the process of adopting a way of life which can make him either virtuous or wicked, he can be metamorphosed into a perfect human being or a degraded wild animal. The virtue or wickedness of a person will be dependent on the upbringing he receives, and this responsibility rests squarely on the shoulders of the parents. In fact, the parents are instruments of shaping a human being, good or bad, from the child. The greatest service which the parents can render to their children is that they train them to be good-mannered, kind, friends of humans, well-meaning, freedom-loving, bold, just, wise, righteous, noble, faithful, dutiful, hard-working and educated. The parents must mold their children in such a way that they are successful both in the world and hereafter. Only such people are those who are endowed with the exalted status of parenthood, and not those who in fulfillment of their carnal desire caused the birth of children and left the children to fend for themselves and rendering them likely to fall into evil ways. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, "The best thing a father provide to his child is good manners and ethical training." Majma al-Zawaid, Volume 8, page 159. The mother has a more important function to perform towards the upbringing of the progeny. Even during the pregnancy, the mother's food habits and her behavior affects the future virtuosity or otherwise of the developing child. The Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, "Lucky is the one whose foundation of his virtue has been made in the womb of the mother, and unlucky is one whose wickedness had its rudiments in the mother's womb as well." Bayha al-Anwar, Volume 77, page 115-133. Heaven, Jannah, is under the feet of one's mother. Mustadrak al-Wasail, Version 2, page 38. The parents, who don't pay attention to the education and training of their children, become guilty of gross negligence. Such parents must be asked whether the innocent child pleaded with him to give him birth in the world to be abandoned like sheep and cattle. Now that you have become the cause of his existence, by virtue of religious tenets and human wisdom, his education and training is your bond and duty. The parents are also answerable to the society. Today's children will be men and women, the citizens of tomorrow. The fabric of the society will be made of these individuals. Whatever lessons they learn today, they shall put them into practice tomorrow. If their upbringing today is perfect, the society of tomorrow shall be flawless. And if today's generation follows a faulty program of training, it is imperative that tomorrow's society will be evil and perverted. The personalities in the field S of politics, education and society shall emerge from these elements. Today's children are tomorrow's parents. Today's children can be tomorrow's reformers. If they have received good training at the hands of their parents, they in turn can carry forward this practice with their children. If the parents have the will, they can be the instruments of the reform of the society for the future, and with neglect of the children they can be the cause of the ruination of the society. By giving the right training to their children, the parents can render invaluable service to their society. Education and training should not be treated as an insignificant subject. The efforts which the parents make to educate their children and the hardships that they undergo in this quest result in the creation of thousands of professors, doctors, and engineers. It is the parents who strive to nurture perfect human beings, capable and pious mentors and other professionals. The mothers in particular bear more responsibility for the upbringing of the children. The children spend most of their childhood with the mothers. The foundation of the direction their future is bound to take is laid here. So, the key to the vice or virtue of a person and the progress or decline of a society is with the mothers of the society. The woman's place is not in the shop floor, ministerial or administrative positions. These functions don't measure up to the importance of a woman as a mother. Mothers breed perfect human beings. Virtuous ministers, lawyers, professors owe their positions to the loving care received from their mothers during their formative years. The parents, who nurture truthful, pious children, not only serve their children and the society but also create a niche for themselves in the society. These children will be a support of the parents in their frail old age. If parents strive towards the education and upbringing of their children, they reap the harvest of their troubles during their lifetime only. Ali, peace be upon him, the commander of the faithful, says, "Evil offspring is among the greatest hardships for the parents." Gharar al-Hekam, page 189. Evil offspring causes loss of respect for the parents, and the successors are shamed. Gharar al-Hekam, page 780. The Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him and his progeny, says, "May Allah bless the parents who trained their children to behave justly with them." Makarim al-Akhlaq, page 517. Therefore, those who attain parenthood have great responsibility on their shoulders. This responsibility is to Allah Almighty as also to their fellow human beings and also to their own children. If they discharge the responsibility properly, they will be rewarded in this world and hereafter. But if they falter in the discharge of this responsibility, then they themselves will be the losers, and they will be tantamount to have cheated their own children and the society at large, and they would be perpetrating an unpardonable sin.